Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on heavy metals when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, permits, in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments, well, they're the exact opposite to private ownership. Bonds are the exact opposite to private property. Public business licenses, well, they're the exact opposite to private rights. And permits are the exact opposite to private business. Now, why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government? And government at every level from Washington to your hometown. And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies who are eating out your substance? Well, you know there's a lot that you can do. And the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know. It's not politically correct about private business. Now, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about heavy metals. There's 20 of these heavy metals to be concerned about. 9 of them are pretty common. The leading contenders for the heavy metal poisoning award is lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic, barium, beryllium, chromium, cobalt, and selenium. Now, many of these heavy metals are nutritional agents. We need these metals. For instance, arsenic, biological arsenic, that is arsenic that comes from plants, derived from plants, is necessary to your health, believe it or not. And selenium, that's a heavy metal. It's necessary for your health. Not the inorganic variety, but the organic variety, the variety that comes out of your spinach or out of your nuts and fruits and things like that. Well, there's a particular heavy metal we were talking about in the last program here called mercury. You've heard about mercury. I mean, hell, mercury is so common. It's used in gold mining. It's used in industry. It's everywhere. But one of the places that we find it that it ought not to be is in the vaccines. And your child is being exposed to 35 of these vaccines on average by the time he's 5. And that may have changed now because I read to you last time we were talking about a report here where they're adding about 2 new vaccines that they're adding to your child's vaccine list every year. Now, not all of these vaccines are required. There are some that are required by law. in order for your child to attend public school. See, that's the propaganda that you've been told. Did you know that in the United States, you can send your child to public school in every one of the 50 states without a vaccine? Not a single one. Did you know that you've got, or you could have, I don't know if there are any, but there, you could be in the military without any vaccines at all. Did you know that? Did you know there are provisions written into the Uniform Code of Military Justice to exempt conscientious objectors from the vaccines? Just thought I'd share that with you. Now, if you are in the know, now, there's about 12% of Americans that do not believe in vaccines at all, period. I'm one of those. I'm what's known as a religious objector. A religious objector to vaccines, period. On religious grounds. And do you know that that's accepted in all 50 states? Well, I shouldn't say all 50. There's two states where you got to get a court order. That's Mississippi and West Virginia. Two states. You need a court order. In the other 50 state or 48 states, you don't need a court order. There's another modality you can use. It could be a medical exemption. It could be a personal exemption. Or it could be a religious exemption. You have three exemptions that are recognized in 48 states. Two states won't recognize these three exemptions. You actually have to take the exemption that you're looking for into a court. Just two states, Mississippi and West Virginia, make that requirement. Now, the common belief from the average Joe Sixpack is that I can't send my kid to public school without these vaccines, and if I don't have the kid shot and vaccine, well, then they'll kick him out, and then they'll charge me with truancy, and then they'll put me in jail and all these. Well, there's some merit to that. There is. There actually is some laws on the books, and it's knowing how these laws are used and who they apply to and who they don't apply to and what the exemptions and the but-seps and the exceptions are that, you know, if you were in the know, you know, you could avoid a lot more trouble than you could get yourself out of later. Now, as it turns out, autism only affects one child out of 68, but as I reported to you last time, you know, in 1970, it was one out of 10,000. Now it's one out of 68. So something happened here between 1970 and today to make this rate go from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 68. And the least common denominator here, vaccines. So I gave you the history of this thimerosal. The vaccine was first, thimerosal was first discovered by Eli Lilly back in 1930. It's a preservative used in vaccines. It doesn't have anything to do with the vaccine itself. You don't need the thimerosal to protect you from measles, mumps, and rubella. It's a preservative to keep the vaccine fresh so that it doesn't go stale on your or spoil. It's an economic measure taken by the vaccine manufacturer to protect their bottom line. And in the process, it's causing a lot of misery. Now, I don't know of anybody that's dying from it. We haven't got into any deaths here. But we're going to. And that's because there are some deaths. It's not too many, but there are some. Primarily, it causes a debilitating disease. Now, I got a report in here, and I got to tell you this right up front. I got a report in here that autism can be reversed by detoxification. If you can get that mercury out of your child, as soon as your child develops autism, and you go right to work on removing the mercury before it causes cellular damage to the brain, permanent damage to the brain. Now that's experimental, and I don't think I could document that one for you, but it's certainly worth a try. And I gave you the formula from Acres USA. I'm going to do that for you once more. In Acres USA, they put an article here in the first two programs in this series. It's called Aluminum, Valued Servant, Dangerous Master. And they talked about Revesterol and Cilantro Chelation Pesto and the formula for it. So I'm going to give you the Acres name and number again, so that you can get a copy of it. It's the June 2008 edition of Acres USA, and you can get a copy of it if you were to call. They got a phone number here somewhere. Just hang on here. I'm old and slow here. There it is. It's 512. the phone number, area code 512-892-4400. I got a fine print here and I don't have my loop on. That's area code 512-892-4400. It's $5 for the single copy. I just recommend that you put a $27 bill in the mail and send it off to Charlie Walters and say, put me on the mailing list and send me a copy. $37 if you live in Canada or Australia. And I don't care where you live in the world, if you can read English, you know, this Acres USA, there isn't an issue that comes out that I don't learn something. And I'm an old man. I thought I knew everything, but every issue comes out, I learn something new from Charlie or somebody there. All right, so now that'll tell you where to go to get the information on the chelation formula that you need to get these heavy metals out of your body. Now, it could well be that if your child has autism, and if it is in fact being caused by the thimerosal, which is the mercury ingredient in the vaccine, and if in fact you could get that out of your child's body, which you can infect or in fact do, then it might be worth spending the extra money to accomplish that goal. Now, I know your doctor is going to dissuade you and tell you that's a waste of your time, effort, energy, and money, but I think getting your shot for that kid in the first place was a waste of your time, effort, energy, and money, and on top of that, it caused you a lot of damage. Now, if that's what you want, well, that's what you're buying, that's what you're paying for, that's what you're receiving, and I read to you that the Gears sent Hillary Clinton a letter explaining it to her. I never heard Hillary Clinton say, you know, one of the top priorities that I have is the elimination of iatrogenic disease in America, which kills over 300,000 Americans every year. Now, if that woman would stand up and say, listen, I got a positive program to save 300,000 people who die every year needlessly at the hands of doctors and dentists and medical practitioners, I think that woman could have done us some good. I never heard a word from her. She gets a lot of her funding, you know, from the pharmaceutical and medical industries, and so she's not going to bite the hand that feeds her. Let's be intelligent about it. Well, back in 2001, the Institute of Medicine, called the IOM, they always come up with these letters, you know, the IOM, and then later they're going to refer to this IOM, and I won't know what the hell that is. It's the Institute of Medicine. It's an impartial advisory board to Congress. They advise Congress. Well, they said that a link between thimerosal and autism was biologically plausible, and they reaffirmed the recommendation to remove it from vaccines. Curtis Allen of the CDC, now that's the Center for Disease Control, that's another government agency that your tax dollars buy and support. CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, their National Immunization Program, said in a recent email that at present all routinely recommended vaccines manufactured for administration in U.S. infants are either thimerosal-free or they contain only trace amounts of thimerosal that are a byproduct of the manufacturing process. Now, that was a quote that came out of that agency. In contrast, a review of the FDA documents, however, acquired by Representative Weldon, reveals that some of the influenza, meningitis, and diphtheria, tetanus, and ocular pertussin, that's the DTP vaccine, given to children today still contain thimerosal. All right. So here's a contradiction. Either one, the guy that said it's all been removed and don't worry about a thing is lying, or two, he was inaccurate, or it's all been removed and we've all got our head up the wrong end of our anatomy again over here and we're blowing smoke up your hiney. I don't know. What the hell do I know? Zol Will Rogers said, hell, all I know is what I read in the papers. I'm just reading to you a report, and this guy says, oh no, it's all been removed. Remember, we started yesterday's program, and here's the Attorney General. The Attorney General of Minnesota says, hell, I thought it had all been removed. Hell, all of us thought it was all removed. That's what we were told. I thought it had all been removed back in 2002 myself. That's what I was led to believe by the publications that I'd seen, the reports that I'd seen. Oh, no. Now, there's one state in California, they removed all of it. The California legislature got busy. They removed it all. And the incidence of autism dropped dramatically. Dropped dramatically. I don't know what the latest numbers are. I guess I'd look that up. Now, here's a number for you. Over in Japan, they were having a problem with sudden infant death syndrome. Sudden SIDS, they call it over here in this country. The sudden infant death syndrome. So here's what the Japanese did. Remember, they tell you, take your kid in, have him vaccinated at age 2 months. So in Japan, they moved that up to 2 years. They said, okay, instead of having your baby start his immunizations at 2 months, start him instead at 2 years. All right. By delaying the start of the immunizations in Japan, the incidence of SIDS, S-I-D-S, sudden infant death syndrome, dropped by 50%. 50%. Practically overnight. Now, how would you like to eliminate the other 50% of the sudden infant death syndrome problem in Japan? Well, if you would, just eliminate vaccine altogether. How's that for a plan? See how simple that is? By delaying it for 2 years, it dropped by 50%. Now, you're not going to see numbers like that bandied about by Katie Couric and Brian Williams. Charlie Gibson ain't going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Why don't you get on the internet and why don't you do some research on vaccines and vaccinations? And when you get through, I mean, you're going to have to give up Dr. Phil and Oprah, you know, for a couple of days. But I mean, if you just got on the internet and did a Google search, you know, on vaccines and sudden infant death syndrome and autism, and I mean, you'd come up with the same articles that I'm reporting to you right here. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Hell, if I put my mind to it, I could probably put a stack of documents here on the desk, probably 10, 15, 20. And I only got 5 or 6 here, kind of long ones. This is a 3-page document. I'm going to give you the source of it again, 3-page document. The guy's name is Dr. Geer, G-I-E-R, I believe it is. And this is put out by the Life Enthusiast Co-op. Life Enthusiast Co-op. Now, I don't have an email, or I don't have a website here on this document, but I do have a phone number. So if you were to call them, you know, at 866-543-3388, why don't you try that? It's 866-543-3388. And ask them for the thimerosal, the rise against mercury, which is giving us this information here that I'm reporting to you. And then ask for the document. I'm pretty sure they can tell you where to get it. Then you can check up and see whether I'm lying to you or not. Well, in contrast, a review of FDA documents acquired by Representative Weldon reveals that some of the influenza, meningitis, and diphtheria vaccines given to children today still contain thimerosal. Soon after, the Geers, G-E-I-E-R-S, Geers, began to investigate thimerosal concerned. Once we understood the data well enough, we were frightened, recalled David. Prompted by concerned parents they had met through their work on vaccine safety, they examined the CDC and the FDA's vaccine adverse reporting system. Now listen to this. This is called the FDA's Vaccine Adverse Reporting System. So the FDA has a system whereby all of the medical doctors and pediatricians and all the health professionals of America are required by law to report these adverse events. For instance, you take your kid in, you shoot him up, and there's some adverse event. Doesn't have to be autism. He could be, you know, he's vomiting, he's sick, I'd bring him back or whatever. They're supposed to report that. Well, get this. They only report 10%. I mean, they go out and they study this. And they came back and they said the doctors are only reporting 10%. The law requires that they report 100% of these adverse reactions. They're only reporting 10%. Well, now, that tells me one of two things. Either one, the numbers that we got, the numbers that we've got, the numbers that we see, the numbers that were given to us are 90% short because they're not reporting them all. Or, all the numbers that we've got over here that are being reported by that 10%, the doctors over here are covering it up. The numbers are either 90% short or the doctors are working together to cover it up. What do you think it is? I don't know. I'm just sitting here reading the report just like you. But I'm smart enough to sit here and say, well, let's see. It doesn't sound like to me that these vaccines are very damn safe and that there is a potential risk. Do I want to run that risk with my kid? And if the answer is yes, I do want to run that risk. I think that protecting my child from measles is more important than the risk of autism. Well, go out and shoot them up. You know, it's your decision to make. But when your kid comes down with autism, remember, it was a risk that you consciously decided it was worth doing. Because in 1966, there were 44 children who died from measles. I think there's more children dying from autism today than died from measles. I think measles is a non sequitur. Now, for 2 years, the Gears published 6 peer-reviewed correlational studies based on the VAERS. Now, that's your reporting system data with startling results. The more thimerosal children received, the higher the incidence of neurological problems, including autism. Next, they tackled the U.S. Department of Education data and conducted a statistical comparison of yearly autism rates with the amount of thimerosal given to children. Again, a tight lockstep between the two was revealed. But this data only took them so far. Correlation only means a relationship, explained David. The autism epidemic of the 90s also coincided with increased television watching among children. But none of us are arguing that TV is the cause of autism. To resolve the issue, the Gears wanted to reanalyze the CDC's vaccine safety data link from 7 health maintenance organizations. Those are called HMOs. Health organizations, maintenance, health maintenance organizations, HMOs, for study purposes at a cost of more than $30 million. Analysis of the VSD by the CDC researchers began in 1999 and revealed a statistically significant relationship between thimerosal and several neurological problems in approximately 110,000 children. The CDC scientists continued analyzing the data in emails that they exchanged, obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, and revealed that despite running, rethinking, rerunning, and rethinking their analysis, the thimerosal effect did not disappear. And as the subject line of lead researcher Dr. Thomas Verstaten's email to colleagues read, it just won't go away. All right, now, let me make a suggestion here. Let's think about this pragmatically. You know, there are places in the world, you know, backward, out-of-the-way places, where no one gets autism. No child has any autism whatsoever. Now, I would suggest that we go to those out-of-the-way places where people are not receiving any vaccines. Maybe we could go to Siberia and find a group of people up there somewhere that have absolutely no vaccines whatsoever. Zero. Zilch. Then take a look and see how many of the children in that group of people. Maybe there would be Laplanders, you know, in Norway or someplace, you know. Maybe Eskimos up in the Northwest Territory of Canada. Or maybe some tribe or group of isolated Indians or individuals in Nepal. Or maybe in the Amazon Basin. And just take a look at them and ask the question, how many children here have autism? How many of your babies over here have ADHD? What would that tell you? I mean, you know, if you could go to some group of people, and there's lots of little groups of people who don't receive any immunizations at all. Zero. I bet you we could find them in China. Now, if you find that the rate of autism among those people is the same as it is among vaccinated people, well, then it would be conclusive, wouldn't it? It would just tell you the answer to the riddle. Now, why doesn't the CDC, now I'm just a crummy plumber. I'm not very smart. You know, my IQ is probably down around 80, 85, 90, something like that. You know, just enough to keep me out of the mental hospital. Maybe just enough to keep me out of the pool halls and off the street corners over here. But, you know, if I can come up with a conclusion like that, and I didn't think that up myself. I was looking at cancer statistics, and they went over to Nepal, and they found a bunch of people up here in the mountains of Nepal, and they said, how many of you people up here have cancer? And they couldn't find a single person with cancer. And so they got to thinking, well, what in the hell are you people eating up here? What are you people doing here in Nepal that's different from the way people live in Los Angeles, California? And they found out that the people up there were eating lots of apricot pits. So I took a look at the apricot pits, and what'd they find? Well, they found that there was a vitamin B17. And they found a new vitamin. It's called B17. And they found that the people that eat that, now they came back to Los Angeles, California, and they started feeding these peach pits and apricot pits, you know, to people that had cancer, and their cancer went away. And they said, gee, cancer is caused by a B17 deficiency. I mean, it's no big deal. No, it's a fairly common routine methodology, you know, for comparing populations of people statistically to find out, well, who's got what. So I just thought, well, gee, if that would work with cancer, would it work with autism? Has anybody ever thought of that? Just a wild thought. Well, these early findings were kept from the public. Let me underline that. These early findings were kept from the public. Katie Couric did not report to you on this. And though they were presented to representatives from the CDC, the FDA, and the AAP. Now, let me pause right here and point this out. The paid professionals at the American Medical Association, the Food and Drug Administration, the American Association of Pediatrics, the Center for Disease Control, they all know this. What I am reporting to you right now, all of these paid professionals know this. Have you heard any reports coming out of your Congress? Hey, have you heard any of your presidential candidates saying, hey, listen, we got an autism problem over here. We need to clean up these governmental agencies. They're infiltrated by, they're controlled by, and they're run by the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry. There's a conflict of interest here that does not work for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. Elect me president and I'll fix that for you. I haven't heard of one of those guys come forward and say, hey, listen, let me fix this problem for you. You can rest assured that I don't care who you vote for here in the upcoming election, you're not going to solve the autism problem. It's not going to be solved by your Congress. It's not going to be solved by the American Medical Association or the FDA or the CDC or the AAP or anybody else. It'll be solved by you. You can solve the autism problem in your family for your child. And that's just where reality's at. If you think that somebody's going to do that for you, you got your head up the wrong end here again, Tommy. Hey, let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily, worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed to the website as well. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct here at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about heavy metals. Mercury is one of those heavy metals. And the most common place for your child to be exposed to these heavy metals is in the childhood vaccines. Now, the people who are supposed to know do know. These early findings were kept from the public, though they were presented to representatives from the CDC, the FDA, the AAP, and the vaccine makers at a private meeting at the Simpson Wood Conference Center in Georgia in the year 2000. Hell, this is old, 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 8 years old. Copies of the data shared at the meeting, also obtained through the FOIA, showed a linear correlation between thimerosal exposure and the neurological problems, including autism, and the meeting transcript revealed that several participants were concerned about thimerosal's alleged neurological toxic effects program. Neurologically toxic means that they are nervous system poisons. Dr. Bill Well, a consultant to the AAP, that's the American Association of Pediatricians, and a conference participant, commented on thimerosal, saying, "You can play this all you want, but the results are statistically significant." And Dr. Richard Johnston, he's an immunologist and pediatrician, was concerned enough to consider his own family members. He said, "My gut feeling, and it worries me enough," he said, "forgive this personal comment, but I got called out for an emergency and my daughter-in-law delivered a son by C-section, and I don't want that grandson to get a thimerosal-containing vaccine until we know better what's going on." Now, the group's final discussion, oh, by the way, let me pause right here. A fellow by the name of Robert Mendelson. You ever heard that name, Mendelson? Write it down. Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T. Robert Mendelson. M-E-N-D-O-H-L-S-O-N, I believe it is. Mendelson. He's dead now, but he was a teaching professor at a medical school. He taught doctors. He's a pediatrician himself. And here's what he reported in one of his books. And he wrote a book here. You can get it at any health food store. It's called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. He reported in his book, and he was a pediatrician, he said 90% of pediatricians do not vaccinate their children. They vaccinate your children. They don't vaccinate their own. So I just thought I'd point that out to you, that if 90% of pediatricians, hell, if only one pediatrician didn't vaccinate his child, I'd ask, why not, doc? You're in the business. No, if a Ford executive was driving a Chevrolet. I'd say, hey, Mr. Ford executive, why are you driving a Chevrolet? Because Ford isn't worth the money. I mean, come on. You know, let's be intelligent people. If you believe in something, you buy it. The American people believe in vaccinations. That's why they buy them. 88% of Americans believe in and buy vaccinations. Only 12% of us are opposed to vaccines and vaccination in general. Now, Robert Mendelson was a teaching doctor at a leading university medical school, and he recommended against vaccination. That was one of the first clues that I got that maybe vaccination wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. Now, the group's final discussion centered on how best to guard the incendiary findings from the public. Again, let me underline that. Did you get that, boys and girls? Back in 2000, here's a prestigious group meeting on autism. They're saying, hey, what's this thimerosal got to do with autism? Now, this group, this is doctors, this is the CDC, the FDA, the AAP, and the vaccine makers are having a conference in the year 2000, and they were at the Simpson Wood Conference Center in Georgia in 2000. The last subject that they brought up, last topic of conversation, what is it that they needed to talk about? The group's final discussion centered on how best to guard the incendiary findings from the public. I'm going to underline that. So they're sitting around the table, and they say, listen, guys, how do we keep this quiet? My God, we don't want Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife to find out about this. Why not? Isn't it Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife that are buying all these vaccines? Isn't it Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife that has to take care of this autistic child and suffer through the ADHD and all of the medical complications that come from it? Why shouldn't the people who have to bear the costs and the responsibilities for all of this mayhem, why aren't they informed so that they can make a reasonably informed decision? Well, my God, you know, if you people had the facts, if you people had the straight skinny over here, you probably wouldn't buy vaccination. Probably. So that's why I suggest, you know, why don't you get off of Donahue and Oprah and Judge Judy, you know, for a couple hours and do a little research on vaccination. I think you'd be surprised. And then you could be real proud of yourself and say, gee, look what I found. I mean, you don't have to say, hey, I heard this lunatic fringe, you know, on the radio the other day. No, you can sit there and say, hey, I researched this out myself. My students here that do this, they go home, they report this to their wives, and their wives just come unhinged and want to get divorced. Or vice versa. I mean, that's how, when one family member, when a husband or a wife discovers this, and they go to the other family member and they say, hey, listen, let me tell you about this vaccine, they just come unhinged and say, that can't be true. I don't believe that for a minute. All right, so now consider the embargoed information, said Dr. Roger Bernier. He's the Associate Director for Science of the National Immunization Program to the group. He said the participants took his caution seriously, and the findings remained out of the public eye until they were released to Safe Minds, a nonprofit group founded by parents concerned about the role of mercury in disease under the FOIA in July of 2001. It wasn't given voluntarily. They had to get it forced out of them by an FOIA request. See, FOIA, what that's the Freedom of Information Act. What that means is what the government won't tell you, in some cases you can force them to give you the information, but they're not going to do it voluntarily. Following the Simpson Wood Conference, Dr. Thomas Verstraeten, I'm sorry, Doc, if I pronounced your name incorrectly here, but you got to admit that your name's a little unusual. It's Verstraeten, maybe, T-E-N. Spell V-E-R-S-T-R-A-E-T-E-N, Verstraeten. The lead author of the VSD study was concerned about how clarification of the thimerosal data might jeopardize scientific rigor. In an email to Robert Chin, chief of the Immunization Safety Branch of the CDC, that's the National Immunization Program and others, he wrote, quote, "I don't wish to be the advocate of the anti-vaccine lobby and sound as if I am convinced that thimerosal is or was harmful, but at least I feel that we should use sound scientific argumentation and not let our standards be dictated by our desire to disprove an unpleasant theory." I mean, here's a doctor that says, oh my God, maybe we ought to look at this more seriously. Notice that this doctor doesn't say, well, I'm opposed to vaccination. Hell, if the vaccination was given to you and you were spending the money on distilled water, it would be harmless. It would be a waste of your money, a waste of your time, effort, and energy to take your kid in to get 35 vaccines made up of distilled water. And you wouldn't do that, because that would be stupid. But when you go in to get your kid shot up with the vaccines over here that have thimerosal in them, you're causing your child harm, and it costs you a lot of money to give your kid autism. And all of you parents out there who have autistic children, you paid to have that done. I mean, you paid good money to have your kid shot up with thimerosal so he could get autism or ADHD or some other neurological disease. Nonetheless, the thimerosal effect did go away 3 years later when Dr. Verstraten and peers published the research in a November 2003 issue of Pediatrics. The results no longer showed a link between thimerosal and autism. The results took 4 years to publish due to refinement of the VSD data, including the addition of some children to the database and the removal of others. So they doctored. Here's Dr. Verstraten, you know, authors a report 3 years later, and it's somewhat different than what they came to the conclusions to in 2000. Well, of course. Hey, listen, all of these scientists are paid whores. You know, for practical purposes. I can't say that they all are, because there's always a whistleblower or two in there. But for practical purposes, offer these people enough money, and they'll print and publish whatever the hell you want published. You know, business is business, money's money. Nothing personal. Dr. Thomas, sorry, from the AAP, defends the studies, changing data, and said that they were understandable if one looked more closely. Well, I've talked to Dr. Verstraten a number of times on the matter at different stages of the maturation of the study, he said, and I believe he thought he did see a weak signal with thimerosal concerning some neurodevelopmental conditions in the beginning stages of the study. But once the CDC group reworked the data in response to reviewers' concerns, the effect was less apparent and seemingly restricted to a couple of conditions, like tics and language delays. He explains that the changing data represented attempts at more accurate case ascertainment and improving the quality of the data to be analyzed. What that is, it's a medical ease for saying, we want to keep you people in the dark. And I mentioned it before, let me mention it again. All you got to do is go to Nepal and take a look at 5,000 or 10,000 people that aren't receiving any vaccines or who are receiving vaccines with no thimerosal, and then ask the question, how many of these kids have autism? If the number is the same or closely the same as children that are receiving thimerosal, it proves the point. If they don't have any autism, it proves the point. And all of this study and all of this augmentation and all of this delay and all of this FOIA, what is that? That's just to keep all of us in the dark and to cover it up. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, if you want to be kept in the dark, just stay on the course that you're on right now. You can't be any dumber than you are. I mean, just think about how ignorant you are right now. You don't know jack diddly squat other than what I've just reported to you in the last three or four programs. And all I'm saying is, hey, listen, why don't we get busy and let's go prove this one way or another. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, hell, you don't have to have, you know, an IQ of 180 and 15 years and a PhD to figure this out. The reason that we don't have a clear-cut answer is because we don't want an answer. We want to hide it. Do you remember? How do we keep this from the public? That's what they're working on. How do they keep this away from you? Well, so far they've done a good job, haven't they? Until you heard my report, you didn't know anything about it, did you? Now, others felt that this explanation didn't go far enough. The good case ascertainment had already been done before Simpson would. In fact, they talk about it quite a bit in the transcript, David Gear said. The data shuffling was so extreme in the 4 years after the initial study that they actually found in their article that thimerosal may be protective for certain neurological problems. I find it hard to fathom that a scientist would actually claim that a potent neurotoxic substance like mercury is good for the developing brain. They turned this study around and said, hey, this thimerosal is really pretty good. It's probably a necessary ingredient in your diet. Maybe we all ought to go out and take some mercury supplements. Huh? Why don't you go out and buy some mercury supplements? Now, I just showed you from this very article, one woman in a laboratory got one drop of this crap on her hand and died. They did everything they could to save her. After she said, oh my God, I dropped this. I got to tell you a little story here. My first mentor, Mr. Harvey, was telling me about, in the old days, see, they didn't have chemicals. In the old days, they used to use poisons like nicotine. So they'd take nicotine, and you're a chicken farmer, so you buy a gallon of nicotine. I mean, this nicotine is a thick, heavy, gooey stuff. In fact, Harvey had a gallon jug with nicotine in it. It just had a little bit down the bottom. Oh, maybe it had an inch in the bottom of it. And I asked him, what is that? And he told me this story. He said, that's nicotine. And then I said, well, I didn't know that nicotine was in liquid form. And he said, yeah, it's in liquid form. It was kind of a thick syrup, about like maple syrup. And he said, what you do is you just take one teaspoon of that nicotine and you mix one teaspoon with 10 gallons of water. And it will make an insecticide that is so potent that will kill all the fleas and all of the lice and a pest on your chickens. You take it in, you just spray it right on the chickens themselves. When they're roosting at night, you go and spray it on them. He said, now, the nicotine itself isn't in a high enough quantity or content to kill the chickens, but it'll kill all the pests. Now, that's what they used to do in the olden days. That's nicotine. That's what you're smoking. So, and you're taking this into your body. And over a period of time, it debilitates your body and you come down with some other opportunistic disease. You don't die from nicotine poisoning. You die from lung cancer caused by the nicotine. All right, now listen to this. He had a buddy, the old man Harvey did, who was also in the chicken business. But this buddy was also a drinker. And back in the 1920s, when Prohibition was on, they used to buy booze in gallon jugs. And so this chicken farmer, he took a swig off of his gallon of moonshine over there, and he dropped it. And he said, oh my God, I got the nicotine. And the guy died in the next 4 or 5 minutes. And I thought that was quite a little story. So I'll tell you what I did. You know, being a kid, you know, 15 years old. Now that I knew where the nicotine was. So I said, God, that stuff is really potent. I mean, that's a deadly poison. So, you know, I put the gallon of nicotine, just had about an inch in the bottom. We weren't using that anymore. We were using chemicals now. So you go down to poultry producers of Northern California and you buy the chemicals now already mixed up and spray the chickens. So this was just left over. And hell, this stuff had probably been on the shelf for 20 years. I don't know. This is in the 1952, 3, 4, along in there. I mean, this stuff, you know, this guy's telling me about this, got this nicotine back in the 1920s. Killed him in just practically instantly. So I went in there and I'd dip down into it, you know, with a long straw, and I'd come up with a drop of this stuff. It's about like syrup, you know. And I'd take a chicken, you know, an old sicky chicken that we had to kill anyway. And I'd open its mouth and I'd stick one drop of nicotine into this chicken's mouth, And in about 30 seconds, that chicken would be gasping for air, and it would go into convulsions, and it would start flapping its wings, and within, 2 to 3 minutes, it would have kicked its last. That's one drop of nicotine in a chicken's mouth will kill that chicken in 90 seconds. Isn't that amazing? All right. Now, that, you know, to a chicken, one drop is a highly concentrated dose. I suspect that one drop of nicotine fed to a man 200 pounds would kill him. One drop. And we're talking about concentrations of heavy metals like lead and mercury and arsenic that are measured not in drops, but in mg's. That's milligrams. That's 25 one-thousandth of a gram, 25,000th of a gram. Now, that's what they're putting into this child. 100 times the FDA, not the FDA, it's the EPA's, recommended safe allowance. That's what you're giving your kid, 100 times more than is the safe amount. And now we're all sitting around here wondering, gosh, we just don't have a clue as to what's causing this poison. What's causing this autism? I tell you, boys and girls, if we had brains, we'd all be dangerous. You know that? We Americans are suffering from the terminal stupids. And it isn't because we're not being informed. There's whistleblowers like this guy Greer. You know, there's reports that are coming out. Let me give you this report again. It's called the Life Enthusiast Co-op. Life Enthusiast Co-op. I got a phone number for him. It's 866-543-3388. That's 866-543-3388. And here's a report. Just one of many. Hell, you can do a Google search, you know, or Yahoo search, and you can figure this out. A congressional subpoena has been issued for Dr. Verstetin to be questioned about the VSD data. He has refused to appear. What? You issue a subpoena to this guy and he refuses to appear? Although he continues to publish with the CDC, GlaxoSmithKline, his current employer, stated that Dr. Wait a minute. Here's this Dr. Verstetin. He attends a meeting in 2000. 3 years later, he writes a paper whitewashing thimerosal. And now we find out he has refused to appear before Congress, and he now has a new employer called GlaxoSmithKline. His current employer stated that Dr. Verstetin is not granting interviews at this time. But he responded to criticisms by way of a letter to the editor in the April 2004 issue of Pediatrics, the journal in which the CDC study was first published. And Dr. Verstetin said that the CDC screening study of thimerosal-containing vaccines was perceived at first as a positive study that found an association between thimerosal and some neurodevelopmental outcomes. This was the perception both independent scientists and anti-vaccine lobbyists had at the conclusion of the first phase of the study. It was foreseen from the very start that any positive outcome would lead to a second phase. Now notice that there is an anti-vaccine lobby. Alright, now somebody's going to write me a letter and say, you know, Gordon, you're one of those anti-vaccine guys. You got that right, Bob. George Gordon is an anti-vaccine guy. I'm one of those anti-vaccine lobby guys. I am a 100% pure partisan. 100%. And I'm giving you a report. Now, I'm not here to persuade you that I'm right and you're wrong and you ought to give up vaccines. I don't care what you do. I'm not here on a crusade. You want to know which side of the fence I'm on, I'm going to tell you. And then I simply say, well, why don't you take a look at the data for yourself? Hell, I'm writing, or I'm reading from a document here that's put out by other scientists that have the other side of the story. Now, if you want to gamble with your kids' health, safety, and welfare, that's your choice in life. Hell, get after it. Go do it. 88% of Americans do it every day. 12% of us are sitting back saying, well, we don't think we want to do that. Now, I had 5 children. Not a single one of them had a single shot, and not a one of them came down with autism. And you're going to sit there and say, well, I can show you 5 other kids over here. All of them had their vaccines, and they didn't come down with autism either. And the difference is that my kids all had measles and mumps and rubella, and they all survived it. And they got natural immunity, which is the natural design process. Now, because the findings of the first phase were not replicated in the second phase, the perception of the study changed from a positive to a neutral study. Surprisingly, however, the study is being interpreted now as negative by many, including anti-vaccine lobbyists. The article does not state that we found evidence against an association as a negative study would. It does state, on the contrary, that additional study is recommended, which is the conclusion to which a neutral study must come. So you see, they've succeeded in their goal. The pharmaceutical companies and the Congress and the CDC and all these guys, they've obfuscated the issue to such a degree that now we're to the point where, well, in 2000 we could see a statistical connection, but now we're just neutral on the subject and we don't know whether it does or not. And we can't figure it out. Ah, come on, kids. You mean to tell me that these people with PhDs and work for the CDC can't figure this out? Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm a high school dropout, and I told you the answer already. Now think about this, Bob, Sally. Listen, you go anywhere in the world and find a group of people that aren't vaccinated, and then ask the question, how many autistic kids have you got here? Can you do that, Bob? Can you do that, Mary? Hell, I don't need a PhD to figure it out. Anybody with an element of common sense and an IQ above 80, for crying out loud, can do that. Hell, you can do it, Bob. In spite of the fact that you've been to college. Even you college kids out there, with just a little bit of added effort. It'll take you a little bit more effort than the average high school dropout, but you get after it and you can do it too. Hey, I'm just about out of time, so I want to tell you about this Akers. Now, if you've got these poisons in your body, you can get them out. And it's called chelation. These are heavy metal toxins. Why don't you go to the Akers people? Call them on this number, would you? It's in Austin, Texas, and their phone number is 512-892-4400. Do that one once more. 512-892-4400. And you're looking for the June 2008 Akers USA. And you want the antidote to heavy metals. How do you get that crap out of your body? Hey, I'm about out of time again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in 112 countries daily over the Internet worldwide. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log, our schedule, and archives. And that can all be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.